We're back, Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, and we are talking about some creepy critters out there. Hey, speaking of that, creepy hotspots, that's something that I do. That's where you can find me outside of here, and I hope that you do that. Creepy Hotspots, taking you there live, and you're there with me having a good time. It's a membership site. I hope that you'll join me and become a Blue Rocker. And if you do it right now and you head over to my site for about 48 hours, I'm giving away my free documentary called it's a Bigfoot documentary. Who knows? Maybe what we're seeing is Bigfoot is a dogman stuff, but it's deep in the Rockies. And it's a day documented, 7 days. Sasquatch Journey is a group that a couple that took me in to the woods deep in there, showed me structures and showed me all sorts of neat things. And we came across some tracks too. It was an amazing 7 hours, and it's documented. And it's documented in a way that with the vibe that I felt when I was out there. So check it out. You know, it's you say, hey, Connie, not too bad for a documentary. You did pretty good on that. You know, hey, I'm talented, but I did a little bit of documentary work for you there. And let me know what you think. I think that would be fun. So it's free. Go check it out. You'll see where it's at on my site at bluerocktalk.tv. About 48 hours before I take it out. Okay, so bluerocktalk.tv. Free for you right now. It's a little gift. And I even got a holiday gift for Coast to Coast people to join my site. So I hope that you guys do that. I think you'll like it. I think it's fun. And it's always interesting. In fact, I hope to bring out our guest to do one of those with me at one point, because it's Jody Cook. He's the head of the North American Dogman Project. As you can tell, he's giving it to you straight. He's really well organized with it, with his thoughts, what his plan of attack. It's not like he's just throwing it out there and doing it on weekends. He's got it. He's serious about it, and he's headed this big project across the nation, and that's across the globe, and that's a big ordeal to take on, because it's not something that you just do for a few months and go, oh, okay, I'm done with that. This is something he's dedicated to continue on, and you know, Jody, it's fun, and it is fun, but it's something that you go, I'm doing this, you're determined, but then at one point you go, you know what, I'm in this for the long haul. And you had to have decided that at one point, because you are very serious about it from the way you've got it set up.
You know, when I started the organization with a couple guys, Adam Davies and David Jones, you know, when we decided to do this, we did not think that it was going to grow and become what it is today. We never thought it would be. I mean, the organization, you know, it's there, and the federal government knows it's there. We get monitored a lot by...
Really? Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We even had our website people contacted and say, you know, you're having a lot of government agencies monitoring your site. I mean,
interesting.
One time, so we get a list of who's, you know, now of who's watching. I mean, we've had the Department of Defense, the CIA, the NSA, Department of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. We've had the Department of Agriculture. We've had the Canadian government. We had the British government. We had a couple other governments that was watching, that's actually been on our site, watching our site, just not one time. I mean, numerous. The NSA's been on there a lot. And actually, I did right before the COVID stuff started, I did a lecture, and the NSA actually showed up at that lecture, and they let me know they were there. They let me know they were NSA. You know, they were very cordial about it. You know, and it was very interesting on the conversation I had with them. And
did you say, what are you doing here, and what did they tell you?
They said, we collect information, we collect data. That's our job. That's what we do. But he sat there and said, don't be surprised one day if you get a call from a government agency asking for assistance on the subject. which I thought was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, am I going to get a call about it? I don't know. I mean, you know, he could have just said that for, you know, humorous reasons or whatever. But
that's true.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. You know, he sat back and he did ask questions and things like that, you know, about the subject and so forth. He thought it was a very interesting subject. He thought our data was very interesting that we have. They have everything on, I mean, they made it very well known. They have everything that's on our website.
Well, you had said something earlier, and when we had very, very first talked before, you brought up something that I found, it was just caught me off guard. Now, you are retired U.S. Army mm-hmm. and Iraq war veteran. You've seen a lot of different things. You've seen, you know, some tough stuff. And now, you know, there's got to be a lot of that that goes into this. And I want to hear about that. But I also want to hear about the fact that you were talking about a lot of military bases. These are seen on military bases. I found that to be very, I've never really realized that, because now when I think of bases, I've seen them been on bases before, and I always see kind of, you know, housing kind of thing. But you had said, oh, no, there's way more than that, and that's why.
Yeah, military installations, it's not uncommon for a Bigfoot sighting or a dogman sighting or UFO or some other cryptid. It's not uncommon, you know, for something to take place. You just don't hear about it.
Yeah, you always hear UFO, right? But never dogman, Bigfoot.
Never a dogman, never a Bigfoot. Through my 20 years, you know, I've heard a lot of stories about Bigfoot, you know, sightings or dogman sightings or some other type of cryptid on a military base. I mean, my particular sighting I had of Bigfoot was on a military installation. So it's not uncommon. But like I said, you just don't hear about it.
Yeah. Why is that, though? Why? I don't know. I don't even know why I should say, well, why would that be? But it just seems like that shouldn't happen.
Well, the thing of it is that, you know, the military's not going to let it out, first of all, and you're not going to report it. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Y'all better not.
Yeah, it just, you know, you just don't do it, because if you're coming up for promotion or something like that, you know, that all that stuff goes into consideration. You know, this guy's got a, you know, security clearance, and, you know, he saw a Bigfoot. Ugh, you know.
But it's real. It's real.
It is, but the thing of it is the military knows these things are real. But the point of it is just, it's the professionalism of the military. And, you know, for some reason, our government believes that we cannot handle the truth when it comes to UFOs or Bigfoot or something to that
effect. So ridiculous. Oh, but we can handle these other things happening.
Yeah,
jeez.
We can. I mean, think about it. Look at the way people are handling coronavirus.
Ugh.
Okay, so how do you think they're going to handle it when, you know, here's the thing. President Trump could come out on TV today, tonight, say UFOs exist. Okay, they've been visiting the planet for, you know, hundreds of years. You know, we have bodies, we have recovered, you know, craft. So far, they haven't been a threat to us. You know, we're monitoring the subject. Okay, so that's fine. Okay, and they'll say, you know, if anything happens, we'll do what we need to do to protect, you know, the species. Okay, well, you're going to wake up, you're going to have breakfast with your kids, you're going to go ahead, you know, and get your kids off of school, you're going to go to work, you got something to talk about, you're still going to go take your kid to soccer practice or whatever, afterwards you're going to have dinner, and it's going to be like that for a couple of days. You know, you're not going to be freaking out going buying guns and building a bunker and getting food, because, you know, the thing of it is people already know in their mind that these things exist. Because they either seen it, they know somebody who's seen it, or had a family member or something like that. The problem is that what the people are not going to accept is, one, the government lied to us about it and kept it a secret. So if they lied to us about that, okay, then they're going to lie to us about protecting us. Because you have to understand something, okay? The government, if this country is ever attacked or the world is ever attacked, the government's going to protect government property first and assets to the government. You're on your own. The military's not going to come into your town and put weapons and ammunition in your town and say, okay, here you go, people, defend your town. It's not going to happen. That's not what the military is doing. The military is there to design to protect government property from being seized in a national emergency. And people need to understand that. You know, if anything happens, you're on your own on protecting yourself and your family, because military's not designed to do that. Yeah, they'll come into the town and protect the town if the threat's there. But other than that, they're not. So, and that's where the people come in thinking, well, this is where the non-trust comes in. Because if they lied to us about that, they're going to lie to us about protecting us, because they're going to protect themselves and their, you know, assets first.
So, at one point, they're going to have to just come out with it. Because, I mean, we're people that have seen these things before. We've seen this stuff, and we're not freaking out. We've seen it, and we're like, wow, okay, that's changed my perspective. I'm not over here gossiping about politics. I'm not over gossiping about you feel this way, and I feel this way, and you like steak, and you like liver, and I don't, and, you know, whatever, when it gets into all that stupid, silly stuff that everybody fights about and they're angry about, because that's why we talk about this stuff, so that we can expand our minds, because as soon as you see one, it expands your mind. But you're right. It's about the lie, because we've all had parents that, as we're growing up, the parents tell you something that's not true. Oh, that's your uncle. You know, wait a minute, maybe that's your dad, really. Whatever it is, you find it out later, and you're like, why did you lie to me the whole time?
And that's what it comes down to. I mean, they feel we can't handle it. And, you know, I used to think that as a people, as the American people, we could handle it. But, you know, now we have the coronavirus, and look at the way people are going ballistic because someone's not wearing a mask, because we have a coronavirus. In order to get the, you know, numbers up, we have to put people who died of heart attacks, strokes, you know, cancer and things like that. And all of a sudden, you know, heart disease is down by 80%, cancer's deaths are down by 80%. So the whole point it's just that, you know, people just can't handle the truth. I think when it comes to this subject, we can, because it's embedded.
I do too. It's old. To me, it's old. Just tell. Exactly. Just who cares? I don't even care if they say it or not. When people tell me things, oh, they just saw a UFO, or oh, they just, you know, the Israel guy said this about Trump, I'm like, what's the big deal? It's already real. Go outside and either look up or go in the woods and just go, and you'll see these things that we talk about all the time.
Right.
They're there.
It's not mass hysteria. Okay.
Yeah.
When people are seeing Bigfoot or Dogman or UFOs, I mean, they're seeing something that is solid. They know it's there. You know, so it's crazy.
It is. We can go on that forever. So now you had mentioned something else I found interesting too. You talked about a blue light.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Dogman only?
excuse me. When it comes to the dog or the Bigfoot stuff, we've had, you know, reports that coming in to us on Bigfoot stuff. People, you know, send us that stuff all the time, along with other cryptids. And we're not going to deny those reports. But some of those where people have seen some type of a bluish color light when they see what they say is a portal that is opening, and that the entity comes out of the portal. So it's either like a blue light or it's a white light. But we get more dealing with that light subject when it comes to the Dogman stuff. Okay, so is it a portal? We don't know. Is it something where the light, where they're able to move from one location, like a jumper, move from one location to another very, very quickly. That's a possibility.
Yeah, that's the one I've heard. That's the one I've heard.
Which I think it probably makes sense. But the sightings with the military when it comes to dogmen are very, very different from the civilian, because these individuals are seeing something on the battlefield. And the dogmen that they're seeing, they're describing these things as a wolf, the head, but they're wearing some type of body armor, which is interesting. So we've had this reports from U.S. and Canadian soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq.
That's amazing.
Of the same subject. Even we had one report in Honduras by the U.S. military where these things are wearing body armor. Is it a species, an alien? Is Dogman possibly an alien species? That's something that we don't know about. And the Dogman that we deal with here could be offsprings.
Possibly. Are they born or are they man-made as military?
Right. We don't know. And that's why when we take the reports, we take them serious, regardless if it's supernatural, extraterrestrial, or flesh and blood, because some way they're all connected. And, you know, we'll find an answer of what these things really are. But when you look in the dogman community, it is broken up on people who believe that this thing is definitely flesh and blood. It's something that's always been here. Then you have the supernatural where, you know, it's mystical, where it comes and out, goes, and, you know, able to communicate through the mind, things like that. And you have the extraterrestrial part. But that only seems to be dealing with the military people. We've never had a civilian report come in where they talk about a dog man that is extraterrestrial in origin with some type of biological suit on.
Ooh, I don't know. I might be able to give you some of those or point you to some people that are talking that way. So, hey, maybe we'll help that organization build in some other areas with some more facts for you. So, Jody Cook is who we're talking to. It's Dogman and Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast AM with over 500 affiliates across this globe. I'm telling you, we're everywhere, and it's awesome. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. We are talking about Dogman, and we're doing it with Jody Cook. He's telling us all that we need to know. It's nice to hear about these things because, you know, Jody, when I go out with different friends and different researchers and see the different, you know, Bigfoot alone has different looks, different sounds, and you know, it's all theory, right? We can see things, and we can get pictures of things, and we can hear and feel things, and we can also go, okay, I think that's still in the Bigfoot family, but the ears are off. So, well, the dog man, well, is that a Bigfoot? Is that part of the family? Wait a minute, why does that Bigfoot family, we think they're Bigfoot, has dog ears, but it doesn't have the snout? Or, you know, there's so many different looks out there that people see. I know that I saw 3 feet away from me, I'm in the passenger seat of Jason Frank's truck, one of these Bigfooters, and a good friend, and the driver's seat, when I look over, there is the huge, huge head of a character he calls Elvis, that he's grown up with, kind of, sort of. He remembers when it was 3 foot tall. Now, the last time he had actually physically saw it stand up, it was 7 foot tall. And that was like 2 to 3 years ago. And he had always described Elvis, who he called, as this big, big, huge head. And that's where we had went to that same area, hoping to see him. And looking through the window was this huge head. Now, I had said, I did the mind speak, you know, or at least attempt to see what happens, because I've heard it before. And I had said in my head, hey, I do want to see you, but I don't want to see your eyes. I'm not ready for that yet. And kid you not, this thing that night had shown its head from the forehead was huge and wide, never showed its eyes to me, which was like, thank you, you know, and listened to me. It was amazing. But it was a huge head. And I had said the next day to Jason Frank, it's his area, his spot up in the Rockies, and said, man, it was huge. It was looking at me. It was 3 feet away. It was in the window, but it had pointed ears. And he said, you know what? You saw Elvis, because I never told you he had pointed ears. And at that point, I said, I think it's a dog man then. But Dennis Fohl, who has studied this stuff for a long, long, long time with the Erickson Project and more, he has said, Connie, you never know. It could just be another species of Sasquatch. Now, when you come to the dog man, that seems to be totally different, though, when you got the snout and the other things that go along with it. So it is interesting about the varieties. Now, let's just split them apart instead of just looking at the different varieties of maybe who knows how many, because we believe that with aliens, we certainly see different varieties of humans. And you know what? I think it's great. I hope we continue to keep our varieties. It's awesome. I know a lot of people want that one world where we all have one look, but I love the fact that we're also different and we should celebrate that, I think. But that's another show. But what is the difference to you? What are the differences between the dog man and the Bigfoot? Are they related at all, do you think? Or do they like each other? Are they like, hey, high five, see you later, let's have a beer? Or no, get away.
The difference, they're two different species. All right, one's a canine species. The other one is a primate species. Okay. Now, when I did Bigfoot research years and years ago, I remember getting reports this Bigfoot had, high pointed ears, or the Bigfoot had kind of a snout, or the Bigfoot, his legs were kind of like a dog, because we weren't getting, back in the 80s, we weren't getting a lot of dog man sightings. They were very few and in between. So going back through all my reports, I think what these people were seeing was not a Bigfoot that had high pointed ears or a snout. They were actually seeing a dog man mm-hmm. because of the size and the body characteristics are almost the same when you're seeing something from the chest up from a distance. You're seeing a dark object. Now, if you get a side view, then obviously you can see a snout and you can see the ears. It's all an interpretation of what the person saw, okay? So there are two different species of animal, okay? Now, when it comes to the dog man, we know there's different breeds of this particular animal. We know that there's some that are very canine-looking and characteristic, and then you have some that just the head, the ears is more canine, but the body is almost more human, where the foot is almost human shape, not dog shape, but human shape, but it may only have three or four toes. It has a regular heel like a human, compared to the canine, which has your typical canine style track. When it comes to Bigfoot, that we know that they're different breeds of that particular, animal, depending on the part of the country that you're in, because the characteristics on that are almost different, short hair, long hair, aggressive, non-aggressive, size, and weight. So most people, like I said, if it's at a distance, they really can't tell either or. But it's these sightings that are really up close. They can really tell what it is, if something's very dog-looking or if something's very ape-looking. So do they crossbreed? I seriously doubt it. I think that they're true enemies. We've gotten several reports where people know that there's a Bigfoot in that area, and everybody knew about it, and then a dog man started being seen, and then they hear screaming through the night like something's fighting, and then they no longer see the Bigfoot, or they no longer see the dog man. So they're very territorial, both species are. But when you're dealing with a dog man and a Bigfoot in a fight, you have to look at, well, you have the canine, which is he has claws, he has teeth. Bigfoot has the strength. So I seriously doubt if one dog man would take on a Bigfoot by itself. He would probably have numerous ones with him in order to, you know, to take on something that size and that powerful. So I truly believe that they're definitely two different species, and they definitely do not get along.
Ah, okay. Do not get along. All right. Well, let's go to the phones here. First time caller, Philip out of Akron, Ohio. Let's stick with the little Buckeye theme of everybody tonight and see how Philip is doing. Hey there, Philip. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hello, Connie, and hello, Jody Cook.
I know. Hi, how you
Jody
doing?
Cook. I know Jody Cook knows me. This is Philip.
Oh, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. My friend Todd told me that you're going to be on Coast to Coast tonight, and of course you know Todd too.
Yep.
Yeah, and I had a question. Have you heard any dogmen sighting reports, like in Portage County, Ohio?
Oh yeah. Yes. Yes, I believe we do have one or two listed on our site. I know for sure we have them. It may not be on the site yet. We get reports in. We're about 3 months behind right now documenting the reports because we're just getting so much of them in that trying to get them up on the site is just getting crazy because, like I said, we're about 3 months behind. But email me or send me a message on Facebook. If it's not on the site, I'll get that report to you.
I like that. We've got more and more activity happening along the way. Even when you had spoke about, and thank you, Philip, for calling, even when you were talking about, I don't know what it is. Let me ask you, because you probably do know this. It's when I was growing up, I don't remember all this Bigfoot stuff going on or any, ghosts and UFOs and alien stuff. But then all of a sudden out of nowhere, boom, there's Bigfoot everywhere. And boom, now there's Dogman everywhere. Did something happen along the way? Because I grew up in areas where that's some of the biggest activity happens. Kentucky got all the tunnel, all the caves and Mammoth Cave and just, but story after story after story. And they're everywhere. It doesn't matter. They're everywhere. What happened? Did something happen where all of a sudden this stuff's going on?
Well, in the 1970s is when Bigfoot sightings and even some of the dogman sightings, because like you say with the Defiance, Ohio case, started to boom across, the country. Prior to 1970s, people knew Bigfoot was there. They knew dogman was there, but it was something that was more or less kept in the community. Okay? So people in the community knew about it, and it was either their little secret or, people knew about it through traveling, but it just never got the notoriety that it did. Now, in the 1970s, you had shows like In Search Of and some of these other shows that were, Mutual of Omaha, when they talked about the Yeti and things. So this is when things start picking up because it's getting out there to the people. So people start opening up about it because, hey, it's on TV. People are starting to take the subject serious now, okay, because otherwise why would they pay all this money and put it on TV? So people are noticing it, they're getting out there, they're telling their stories, newspapers are starting to actually pick the stuff up, so it's getting out, so it's spreading like wildfire now, and it's always been that way. So you're dealing with something also, which we're building a lot more homes, we're going in to their home areas and destroying it, to build us homes. And we're seeing more and more sightings of it taking place. And the media is starting to actually pick up on it. When the Defiance, Ohio case started and, August, 2nd was the first newspaper article about it. They didn't take it serious until, August 10th. Then they start taking the case very serious, because, you know, they want to get the stuff out there. Yes, they can't be real serious. They have to sit there and protect the community to keep them from being scared. So they'll make a light of things. But that is how it's just start going. It's getting on TV, so it's opening up a lot more. A lot more people are speaking about it, and a lot more people are telling their stories, and a lot more people are listening.
And, you know, I agree with that, that, you know, we're able to spread the word a whole lot more, too, and people are being a little bit more open. But it still seems like there was an explosion all of a sudden of things, because just the areas I grew up in, we talked about, we had the, you know, Poplick Monster and Goat Man and Pig Man and all these different things, but there was never really Bigfoot, and now it just seems to be everywhere. So it's very I still think there's an explosion of it, but more so of the Dog Man lately.
Right, because, you know, you look at the Bigfoot was always the Pacific Northwest. Okay, for 70s and 80s, it was.
I know it.
Okay,
exactly.
Then you start getting sightings in different pockets of the country that you never thought that the sightings happened, because now you're starting to find old newspaper articles going all the way back to the 1800s about the subject. Same thing when it comes to Dogman. They were isolated, the Michigan Dogman, the Beast of Bray Road. You know, those were the two famous. Okay, so everybody thought, well, okay, the Dogman's up in that area. Now we're getting sightings, you know, out of the Shenango Valley and Pennsylvania, you know, Ohio, the Beast of Land Between the Lakes, and Kentucky. So, you know, you're getting all this stuff now starting to come forth. So it's no longer just in certain pockets. It's all over, you know, the country now.
Yeah, and you know, go back to UK and got some weird things going on there constantly, that's for sure.
A lot of stuff coming out of the UK.
I know it. I know it. Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to going over there at one point and learning some of those things, because they're a whole lot more open to it as well as a society. You know,
definitely, because it's part of their culture.
Yeah.
They know it's there. They grew up with it. People have seen it. You know, they're a lot more open, you know, to it than the Americans are when it comes to the subject. But, you know, now it's getting to the point, you know, where the American people are just, you know, they're loving the subject.
Yep, waking up to it, seeing it, and hearing it.
Yeah, because everybody either knows somebody or had a family member, you know, that saw a ghost, a Bigfoot, a UFO, Loch Ness Monster, or whatever. There's always that close connection. So that's why it's so well spread.
Well, Jody, thank you so much for being here. Tell everybody where to find you.
You can find us at www.NorthAmericanDogmanProject.com. We have a Facebook page, North American Dogman Project, that you can find me on Facebook. You can contact us through there. Please leave a message. We'll get back with you. If we don't get back with you right away, you know, don't fret. We'll definitely get back with you. It's just like you said, we just got so much stuff, so many emails that we're dealing with on a daily subject. It may take a day or two to get to you, but we will definitely get to you. And for those of you out there that believe that these things are teachers and so forth, please contact us, because every bit of information helps us understand these things a lot better. So we welcome those stories. We welcome it. Please let us know.
All right. Thank you so much, Jody. Take care, and good luck with the documentary as well. We'll have you back again with that, okay?
Definitely.
All right. Take care. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being here, too, and thank Jody Cook, Tom Jennings, who was here with us earlier. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed the show. If so, write in and say good stuff. I would like that. We always hear the haters. We want the good folks to take the time and say, oh, I loved it. It was wonderful. So from the KOA News Radio studios out of iHeartMedia in Denver, I want to say thanks to a whole lot of people here. Dan Galani, Jim Banal, Greg Bishop, Tom Danheiser, John C. Bond, Bill May, Stephanie Smith, Michael Cosio, Shannon Scott, Gina Salvati, Angela Sillo, Donna Walker, Lex Lonehood, Chris Burrows, Lisa Lyon, Julie Talbot, Sean Ledesor, Melissa Rodriguez is with us here too. Thank you so much for being there and helping me. Also, Greg Foster, I think I named everybody. Let's not forget George Norrie, the man. Thanks, everybody, once again. And until we do meet again, hey, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange and uncover the unknown. Join me on BlueRockTalk.tv in a free documentary. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis.